flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. It's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Thank you very much, Kevin. That muffaletta sandwich that I've been talking so much about in New Orleans. By the way, we're going to be in New Orleans for Super Bowl all next week. So we'll be at Radio Row starting Tuesday.
Yep.
We'll fly out on Monday and we'll bring you all the great content that we can. I want to do something a little different this year, though. I want to have some fun while we're there. So I might come up with some plans. I might come up with some plans for on-air stuff to,
okay,
while we're in New Orleans, to maybe spook some of the guests we have. Maybe freak them out just
spook
a little bit.
Spook the guests we have, eh?
Yeah, I like this idea. Alec, let's think about this. Hmm. What if I got like a little glass aquarium and just put it underneath the table? And whenever we got a guest, I'll be like, hey, are you afraid of snakes? And when they say yes or no, I reach under the table and I just bring the aquarium out and it's empty. And I'm like, oh, no. Like, do you think that they would freak out?
That's genius.
Yeah.
I kind of want to do one of those things. Have you seen like where you get the box that just has the holes on the sides and there's something in there, but you don't tell them what it is?
Yes.
And they have to try to figure it out. And you just make it sound really scary. It's like a plush hedgehog or something.
No, I like the idea of actually putting one of those poison dart toads in there.
No.
Or
me too. Yeah.
Okay. Because I was going to ask how many people can come into Radio Row. Can you just convince, hey, will you stick your hand in this box?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Well, we might see. By
that's
the way, tickets for 76ers Kings tonight, Kevin. There are tickets for $3 available. So if you want to
really
go to the 76ers and Kings game tonight,
man,
I guess it's not a hot commodity at the moment. All right.
Oh.
Senior
Three
Bowl.
$3? That's crazy.
Doesn't it feel like you're paying more for parking than the ticket?
Okay. And secondly, if you're not paying more for parking, let me know how that worked out. Where the hell can you park at a sporting event for $3 or less?
By the way, it looks like everybody has found Mike Green on the Pro Bowl or on the senior at the Senior Bowl. Because
knocking the F out of that guy.
Yeah, he's getting some buzz, and he's been a hot name for quite a minute now from Zach Wolchuk. So if you're listening to Zach Wolchuk, Brian Broaddus, and the G-Bag Nation, you're getting
good.
The best draft information you possibly could get. Speaking of, Will McClay, who signed an extension with the Cowboys today, and I think a lot of people are happy about that. And I really do. We have gone back and looked at his hits and some of the other ones. We're like, oh, man, that was a really nice find. We've gone back and looked at that a couple times. I really would love to go back and look at everybody in the league and see how comparatively how he's done. Like,
okay,
I need to come up with a better chart, like these guys are hits, these guys are good players, and see where they rank. So I want to see where that goes. We will get to baseball talk at some point, though. This is Will McClay, though, talking yesterday from the Senior Bowl about being on the same page with everybody else.
I think that's the greatest part, is being aligned from top down, and that's one of the commitments that we all made sitting in there about what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. You know, it starts with ownership coming down, but Shoddy's got a plan, got a vision. We're going to support that, and then what we'll do is continue to, you know, add good players. I have a great feeling about Shoddy, what he's looking for. He's going to communicate. He's going to over-communicate. He's going to ask his staff to do that, and they're going to over-communicate with us, and we're going to over-communicate with them. That's how we're going to get it done the first year, and we'll continue to grow and get better at it.
All right.
I like it.
Okay, I'm glad you like that. And that is starting over. There are a lot of fans that cannot start over.
Sure.
A lot of, like, Mike is a fan that cannot go new year. He's like, I'm not letting go of what's happened for the last 30 years. And I know there are a lot of fans out there that are in that same way.
Or that are just going to say, those are just words or what. I got it.
Absolutely. And from the 903, Will McClay is also to blame. I agree. I think he would say that he agrees. I honestly think that Will McClay would say, look, we haven't done good enough. Steven has told us that on air too. The thing that I'm kind of curious about and would love to discuss and dive into even more is, he said, we're aligned from top to bottom. That's the promise we made in that room.
Okay.
So did Schottenheimer ask everybody, hey, the way that things went when McCarthy was here, just from what I observed, we weren't all on the same page with this. And right. I need that in order, like, look, Jerry, I can't have you running around saying there's better coaches on your staff to take my spot. That doesn't make me feel comfortable, and it doesn't give me the power. Is that what Schottenheimer asked of them? Is, I need to make sure that not only when it comes to what we see as the players that should be Cowboys, but the way that we run things, I have to have some say in this too.
I could see that. And one of the things Jerry said, and it might have been more about offensive philosophy than specifically what you just said. I can't be sure about that. But he was really quick to say, and I've seen Shoddy hold his tongue plenty of times. So I'm curious, like, specifically just about, like, I don't like that play call. Or
yeah,
does it go to more what you were talking?
And, you know, that does, we've heard multiple times that, you know, if you looked up in the defensive press box or in the defensive box upstairs, when they would shoot over to Dan Quinn up there, you would see sometimes Will McClay back there. And evidently there was a, hey, I don't like that from McCarthy, that he didn't like that Will McClay was in there. And I can understand that.
Yeah.
If you're McCarthy and you just had your coach tell people, hey, Dan Quinn could be a head coach for this team.
Yeah.
I don't want the guy that's sure. building personnel up there, right? Even sure. if he's helping, I don't want that relationship. Like, I understand all of that. I totally get that part. But I'm very curious on that promise to each other and how they are going to work together and align for themselves to do it. He also was discussed the process, how the process changes, and a little bit about how NIL works with it.
What we're trying to do is continue to drive ourselves to look for not only the best players, athletes, all that stuff, but the guys that have the mental that, you know, that it's going to take for us to get over the top, paying more closer attention to the kind of the football character and those things, and seeing if they fit that way as well.
Is that any sort of change, the character side from the McCarthy team?
No, not really. Guys emphasize it. Each coach is going to emphasize it a little bit more, but I think as an organization and on the scouting staff, it's one of the things each year we try and go back and look at, okay, what's this, what's that, and compare guys, and, you know, they get into the league now. It's a different atmosphere that we're getting players from. Now they're getting paid in college, they're transferring 2-3 schools. You know, it's how do we dig and find that information? How do we find out about the core of the players? Really the thing that we really want to dig in now, because it's going to require us to the way the conditions are.
That part of it right there, that of, hey, with them going to 2 or 3 different schools. Choppy this morning and Bobby both had really good points about that, and they were different points. Choppy said, I think it should be easier to get real information because you're not just asking one school that has their goals in mind. You're asking 3 different schools that all got to see this guy at different stages of his career. And you're likely to maybe get a real answer from two of them.
Yeah.
That kind of lines up that you might not get from one of them.
I continue to like the, because I really did like that follow-up question.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. I like the, you have to say all
the
things.
Was it not like that with McCarthy? Yeah. No, it was,
and
but.
You have to kind of backtrack a little bit. I'm not saying he like backtracked all the way, but it's a delicate balance of like, oh yeah, we got some new stuff. It's going to be really awesome. You didn't do that awesome stuff before. We did some of that awesome stuff, but we got some new awesome stuff.
Yeah, there's new. We just been holding this awesome stuff back.
Yeah, that is a delicate balance.
We just weren't ready to use all the awesome stuff at the time.
For sure.
The other side that Bobby was discussing with NIL and how that is well, now you got three different teams you got to go to. A, it's got to be difficult to try and go, hey, was that coach on that staff at that time? We got to figure out right. The coaches, reach out to those guys. And were they mad that player left? Now are they giving me real information or are they giving me information? But I want to take that too. I want the negative information.
Sure.
Because then that helps me when I sit down and I watch the kid and I start talking to the kid.
Wouldn't you argue that at times that is among the most important information? Because like I need to know any potential problems that come along. How did that person deal with it? Or what can we do to help on the field stuff? Like whatever.
Tyler Guyton. Dude, everything looks great about this kid. He looks good in this. How does he react whenever he's not playing well? You know, how does he respond whenever things get real bad? And if something bad happens, like what did y'all do to help? I need to know these things about this guy. And somebody asked from the 214, wait, so McClay was responsible for Taco. Yes, he was here for Taco. Brian Broaddus will say every single time McClay said, I wear that. I wear that miss. He probably wears this Mozzie miss, and he's hoping that Mozzie comes around. Mozzie had a better second half this year than we saw for the first year and a half of his career. Maybe it happens. I don't know. But yes, he did. He did wear that. Do I think that other people had influence in that conversation? Yeah, because ultimately, Will McClay stamps it and says, yes, Jerry, I believe this one, even if other people are standing on a table at the time. And then this is the last line about Schottenheim.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And how he feels about him.
Just knowing him and being around him, knowing where he came from. I mean, a lot of the things that you've heard are very true where, you know, in this day and age in the NFL, it's the new hotshot that, you know, maybe he's been coaching 3, 4, 5 years. Well, Brian was that guy. He's got that passion. He's got that commitment. Grew up in football, can have a conversation with anyone and an honest conversation with anyone. So his ability to do that and to connect, like in part of the interview, I watched him connect with different people in different ways. And that's a huge part of the head coaching thing that that helps push you over the top. And that you only get that from experience.
And those are the things that help sell him and help sell the Joneses on this head coach. Kevin, for me, what I really want from my head coach is I want my head coach to be so in the details for this team, like to the point of just like I've talked about with Bill Walsh. Hey, man, I really don't like the way that this announcer does this. Can we change that just a little?
Yeah.
Everything that goes on in that stadium, he should be aware of, know what's going on, have a thought about it.
And at times, a vision for it. And at times you want them to relax on it until that starts to work. And then you're like, I saw your vision all along.
Exactly. They say he has a vision for this thing. And Will McClay, doesn't talk a lot. He'll probably talk with one of the shows during training camp, and then after the draft, he usually hops on with us, I think, or G-Bag. I think last year, a couple of years ago, he hopped on with G-Bag, and I just thought it was an exceptional conversation. So I just wanted to, I heard that audio yesterday and wanted to dive into it. And then I saw this from Jory Epstein. Somebody's going to tell me how to say it one day, and I'm going to remember, I promise.
Are you going to remember?
She said, I asked Stephen Jones, Devil's Advocate says Shoddy hasn't called plays since 2020 and hasn't demonstrated modern offense. What gives the Cowboys confidence that he can?
That's a quality question.
Stephen Jones' reply, Andy Reid. Wow, what a career. But you know, he's a guy that did it differently in Philadelphia, and he's evolved. I personally, like, Andy Reid was also play caller, head coach.
Yeah.
Like, he was the guy paying attention to all the details of that. I'm not trying to sell Schottenheimer to anybody. I still want to wait before I, you know, make any decisions on him. But I do believe that people can evolve and grow over time. And Andy Reid definitely did. He got the right quarterback and everything changed. He had Alex Smith. It wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
I mean,
I agree. And I'm an Alex Smith defender.
When he had Alex Smith, that team was essentially the Eagles, but and couldn't go any further because they were held back by that.
Sure.
Essentially. Then he brought up she asked, Niners, Eagles made Super Bowl in the last 2 years with a strong run game supporting quarterback. Do you, the Cowboys, want that for Dak? And he said, it's a must. It's a must that we marry our run game to our pass game and roll that into play action. I think all that plays right into Dak's hands. And then, as he mentioned, the reduced formations and things like that to set up the ball even more efficiently, as some of these teams have done in our league, Shoddy embraces it all. Kevin, I just want to point out, and this is...
Because I have thoughts
about
that.
There are two things that happened this year that, and maybe a little bit of last year, two things that have happened. One, this was the year of the running back. This was the year that everybody was like, oh, we got to run the ball again.
Definitely.
Effectively. And two, this was the year of the defensive tackle. And what have I been begging for years?
Fat boy in
somebody
the middle of the line.
Crush in the middle. It. And so now, like, that's what I'm still asking for, and the Cowboys have yet to give that. So hopefully they look at their team and say, what can win next year?
So, Corey, you know how earlier in the segment you said there's a lot of Cowboys fans who can't handle, like, a full-on stop and reset?
Yeah. No, absolutely.
You just mentioned one of the points that I can't handle. I'm okay with a full-on stop and reset for the Cowboys, and I feel like I've been pretty vocal about that. However, what you just said from Stephen Jones, what I hear in my head every single time is that sentence ends with at a certain reasonable price.
Yeah.
And so that's what I think every time. I was like, look, we've talked about it. You could have picked up Saquon for a $5 million cap hit and Derrick Henry for 3.8. Maybe I reverse those. But the point is, hell, you could have gotten both of those players. But the Cowboys just didn't value it at that rate. So I hear him. I believe him. But I also think he's like, if Rico Dowdle is willing to come back at 2 for 4 years.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
2 years for $4 million. Or something like that. And that's the part
I want
that
the best. Get the best.
That is the one for me, Corey, that I'm like, if you're talking about every Cowboys fan is bitter about a certain thing. For me, I'm bitter about that part. Every time he talks at the end of the sentence, I frequently hear at the right price point.
Yep. Yeah. And then this last thing I wanted to get to, maybe I'm going to implement this into the C block for more often.
Okay.
Is this stupid criminal or just bad luck?
Oh.
A Costa Rican drug kingpin named... We'll just call him Luis. All right. I don't want to say the rest of it.
It was Medford. I gotcha.
Was arrested while vacationing in Europe after his wife's photos revealed his location. So this dude is a drug kingpin, and his wife was just posting all of her things on Instagram about how great her life was and everything.
All right.
And they said, hey, looks like this dude's here. He had splurged on $20,000 worth of plane tickets to bring his family to Europe for the new year. The trip was cut short.
Here's the issue. It was his wife. If you said drug kingpin girlfriend, I'd have been like, you know what? Maybe she doesn't get it. Maybe she doesn't know about that life yet. But if it's his wife,
she should know.
She knows what he does.
Yeah, she should know.
She should know the rules by now. And again, my overarching message would be, don't be a drug kingpin. or break the law.
Okay.
But yeah.
I don't know if that is appropriate, PJ. But in this specific scenario, how does the wife not know this?
I don't know. Yeah. How does she know not to post their location? Or you know what? Maybe she didn't know that they were after him. Maybe she was like, you know what? Right now we're free and in the clear. They're not after this guy at the moment.
Dude, it's like you've heard Mike make a lot of references to the Wesley Huff, Billy Carson debate. So Billy Carson was like, I just got out of the hospital like days before and he posted his hospital bills, but he left the date on the hospital bill, which actually showed it had been like 5 weeks since he was in the hospital. I get it. It's tough to be in the hospital, but he said a couple of days.
And somebody did text in and say, I saw these pics. She is... They said it. I'll say attractive. Mm.
Not the point.
If you want to go check out
903,
the
pics, I need to know. Not the
just Google
point.
It. She is very pretty.
Just draw me a link.
And by the way, Indiana Fever star Caitlin Clark will not participate in the NBA All Star Special 3-point shootout.
I'm disappointed.
She
about
wants
that.
Her first 3-point contest to be at the WNBA All Star in Indianapolis this summer.
I can respect that. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. Coming up next. Is Nick Sirianni right? Do we get caught up on what a winning football team is supposed to look like? Plus, maybe some free agency stuff next on The Fan.
Hurts keeps it himself, has some room. Hurts at the 10, 5, touchdown! Jalen Hurts with the score.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through The Fan. Now, we have a couple of options here. We can talk about early look at NFL free agency and how many Cowboys are in the mix. Or, what I'd love to talk about as well... Is Nick Sirianni right? Do we get caught up with what a winning football team is supposed to look like?
Oh, interesting.
So everybody knows the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, he's great. Travis Kelce, great. They're like all-time greats. Their defense has been really, really good too.
But what's the line every time? Well, not everybody has a Patrick Mahomes.
Exactly. So I take you to the Eagles. And it feels like people discount the Eagles because maybe Jalen Hurts doesn't play the way people think he should play.
So he's not Patrick Mahomes.
Well, sure. And nobody is. I guess his dad is another Patrick Mahomes. But if you look at the yardage in the first two playoff games, so this is before the Washington game where he joked about the straitjacket getting taken off. Jalen Hurts threw for 131 yards and 128 yards.
Yep.
If I told you you got two playoff games and your starting quarterback threw for 259 yards, I bet one of the thoughts would be, how did we get the second one?
Mm-hmm.
And we definitely lost that game. But then you go to Nick Sirianni, and he talked about this at the NFC Championship game. How about our quarterback? He's a stud. I knew he was going to play that way. I knew it. Don't doubt him. All he does is win. And then he added... Winning at quarterback is more important than any stat you go through.
Fact.
And that's where I started to think about, do the Eagles get discounted? Because I think we all feel like the Eagles have the best all-around roster in football. But people keep saying they made it this far in spite of Jalen Hurts. I believe Jalen Hurts is now on the list of 8 quarterbacks, give or take, to make 2 Super Bowls in their first 5 years. That's it.
Yeah.
And that list is littered with Hall of Famers.
Granted, the best roster you can find.
Exactly.
Because that GM runs circles around most of them.
And so that's what I want to talk about. I promise this segment is not about how great Jalen Hurts is. This segment is about, do people discount the Eagles because their quarterback is fine at times, better than fine at other times? But it's their all-around team that is winning. And people seem to be like, well, who are the best quarterbacks in the league? I feel like you get some variation of Mahomes, Allen, Lamar, Burrow, and maybe at number 5, if you're feeling like super generous that day, Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
But odds are more likely you'll get him closer to 8, 9,
but
10.
You'd also, now what you're about to do, I'm sorry, I'm jumping the gun
here.
Yeah,
no, good.
You're about to say... But my running back's a top 2.
Exactly.
My tight end's a top 5. My two of my wide receivers are top 15, yeah. maybe. Like your name, and then you go to my defensive tackles are top.
Yep.
So everything is in the top of something, not just because they're a good team that year, because they're good players individually, and as a team, they play well.
And I don't know if it's, I know some people will argue it's the fantasy footballification of football that makes people discount certain teams, certain players or whatever, but is it time to revisit, like, maybe having the stud wide receivers, the all-around good defense, and the stud running back can make up a lot more than people thought for a slightly above average quarterback. Maybe you think he's way above average. We don't have to get into that debate right now. But I think we would all agree not a lot of people believe that Jalen Hurts is in the top three.
Right.
Even at this moment, I don't think a lot of people feel that way. And so I was just really fascinated by Nick Sirianni, because he goes, hey, talk about some of those Hall of Famers. Joe Montana, who's he throwing to? Jerry Rice. So these guys have been so good at their position, but a lot of them have had great players around them. I'm not discounting the greatness of Patrick Mahomes whatsoever, but it does help that he has an all-time great tight end.
Yes, and Chris Jones, like an all-time great defensive coordinator.
For sure.
Who's, you know, the only coordinator to ever go to four Super Bowls. To win four Super Bowls, I'm sorry. The thing, though, that I still stand by when it comes to quarterback play is at some point in the game, you can run, you can do all these things, but as we saw with Josh Allen and with Lamar Jackson, at some point in the game, you have to step up and deliver big-time throws. Jalen Hurts has done that this year. And he's done it in the playoffs multiple times where when they needed a first down, he found A.J. Brown or he found Dallas Goedert for a big game. Again, that Saints game was huge because he found the right person. And this year, working with Kellen Moore has been really good for him to create and open those plays up. And Kellen Moore has a litany of an arsenal of offensive weapons to go to.
Let me ask you this question. And Alec, if you want to chime in on this, I'd definitely be interested in your thoughts as well. You said you got to be able to make the throw. Agree. How high on the list of importance is you have to be able to avoid making the wrong throw?
Exactly.
Or you have to be able to avoid that mistake.
Jimmy Johnson said it all the time.
Alec, you feel like that's pretty high up on your checklist too, right?
I think that's probably the highest because it's about mitigating, you know, the dumb mistakes versus the great plays. So okay. You've heard that line of thinking for years now.
I'm glad that you said that then, because I've seen a couple people text and it was like Eagles fans don't think Jalen Hurts is that good. Well, let's talk about the mistake factor. Did you know that Jalen Hurts he threw an interception against the Cowboys on November 10th. In his last 14 games, that's it. He's thrown.
So where is kryptonite?
What?
That's what you just said.
You know what?
How'd we do in that game?
It was pretty bad.
What?
We lost by four touchdowns.
But we did intercept him. So
that's a good point.
In your face, everybody else after that.
That is a very good point. So you. Are we hanging the banner? Okay.
I am.
So that's fair. So in that time, he's thrown one interception over 14 games. Now, this is where I think some people get caught up too. You know how many touchdown passes he has? 16. So 16 touchdown passes in 14 games, I understand.
Yeah, but he has A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, Kevin.
So why can't he?
That's when Kevin pounds his fist on the table and goes, exactly, that's my point right now. The team around him is really good. Build a good team.
So what I wanted to throw out there is, and Lamar Jackson gets dinged with this a lot as well. Josh Allen, to a certain extent, he's run for 17 touchdowns in that same time. So if I tell you I got 16 touchdowns in 14 games passing, you're like, can we do better? But if I tell you Jalen Hurts in his last 14 games has 33 total touchdowns and one interception, that's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. And somebody said, but haven't they had one of the least efficient passing offenses this season? They had a spell it was poor. Like there was a spell where you were like, what's happening with this right now? And it was their wins were very reliant on their defense playing well and their running back stepping up.
I think you can make an argument that turning point was after, I'm pretty sure they had an early bye. They had an early bye, or if you even want to go after the Cleveland game, because that game was kind of dudsville too. I agree with you. The first like 5 weeks of the season, it was a disaster. Jalen Hurts was turning the ball over left and right. You saw those statistics that since 2022, Jalen Hurts has the most turnovers. Fact. 2023, fact. Early this year, fact. Since then, though, he's gotten way, way more safe with the ball. And I just wanted to throw that out there.
Because he can run the ball.
That's true.
He can run the ball. His team can run the ball. You can do that whenever you're balanced enough to not have to rely on one thing.
Yeah.
But whenever you're a team that has no offensive line that can block well enough to keep your quarterback in the pocket, you don't have a running back that you trust or rely on, your quarterback gets injured trying to be Superman when he doesn't need to be. That's how that happens.
Now, this next part, I actually want to talk about free agency and kind of add that into this discussion, if that's okay with you guys. ESPN put out their list of top 50 free agents going into the offseason. Now, maybe you think this is good. Maybe you think this is bad. How many free agents from the Cowboys do you think are on that list? Like, how many players that were
top
Cowboys,
50?
But now they're going to be free agents? Yeah, top 50.
One at most, probably zero.
Really? Okay.
I'm just trying to think of, I don't know who all the free agents are.
That's a fair point. Who's your one?
Jordan Lewis. I would have to look at the list of the rest of them, but DeMarcus Lawrence, a free agent?
DeMarcus Lawrence did not make the top 50, but that is true. Also, Rico Dowdle didn't make the top 50. They're in like
would expect that.
They're in like the runner-up category.
I just don't think of Rico Dowdle. I know everybody loved what happened this year, and they ran the ball more effectively. That was really good, but I just don't look at them that way.
And maybe I'm missing it, but I don't think Jordan Lewis made the cut either.
I don't think he would, honestly.
So they have two in the top 50.
Are they special teams?
Nope. That is a fair question. That is a really fair question. Zach Martin, number 21 on the list. And then Osa Digizua is number 10.
Wow, where's Trey Lance?
On this.
51.
Nope.
Probably
remember,
so.
I gave you the honorable mention, so he didn't make that. Those next 10.
61.
And it was either yesterday or the day before. I know Broadus kind of mentioned it in passing. I'm sure they've hit this more on the show. Is he's like, I'm just not sure you're going to be able to keep Osa Digizua. And that's concerning to me because at a time when you wonder about the overall talent level on this team, there's two in the top 50 that one of them we kind of feel like is going to retire. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. And the other one is Osa, somebody that we've liked for a while that you've seen grow and grow and grow. But maybe, unfortunately for us and the Cowboys, he got too good.
Yeah. And that's
a
player right there.
Thing.
I think that's one of the reasons Micah threw that line out there of 35
versus
fine.
40.
I want a beast in front of me.
Yeah.
I want somebody that can create space for us. And Osa's been, he's been a really good talent. A lot of people didn't have a clue what to expect out of him. And I think he's turned out to be a very fine defensive tackle.
Yeah, so how disappointed would you be when, perhaps inevitably, you don't bring back Osa?
Because of the way that these contracts are structured?
Yes, and because I guess he got too good. Like, that's one of the things about the Cowboys that really fascinates me to no end.
You know, we draft and move on.
It almost feels like they're agitated about how good CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons got. That's probably not the case. But sometimes the way they describe it, they're like, hey, you got to pay three players $100 million, or I guess actually far more than $100 million. That's just the deal. But they really like to keep those players that they're fine. So let's re-sign them again, and we can pad our draft stats. But Osa feels like he's going to be in that category, and then he got too good.
They are terrified of a Crawford deal again. They're very
and
terrified
that, one was, that one hurt.
The Tyrone Crawford deal will happen again where, dude, this guy's on the rise, and then he just levels off and never is that again. I don't think that's just because of money. He had injuries that got in the way, but he never was that same guy again.
So of that group, Zach Martin, Osa, Dowdle, DeMarcus Lawrence, it feels very plausible that you bring none of those players back,
and
right?
And then there's a lot of work to do to replace that in in the draft. And then again, Kevin, like I said yesterday, with $1 million, $1.25 million free agents.
Hell yeah.
Spending five is very difficult.
Yeah, that is tough. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, let's chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105 Through the Fan.
Duchesne Center shot to score! Maverick Bork on a gorgeous pass from Matt Duchesne. And we are tied at one.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan, where we have a lot to cover, and I do need to do the read for Crosstalk. But first, Chiafalo, can you pop your mic on real quick?
What did I do?
You didn't do anything wrong. I just have a question about how your day has gone so far.
Oh, thank you.
Have you, before the show, or are you planning on being involved in a rap battle in some sort of underground warehouse?
Is that the look that I'm giving off right now? Is that just
what I'm exuding? Like
a million percent.
Oh, I do look like the rabbit. Yeah. I actually have a confession about everything I'm wearing right now.
It was all given to you.
It's all free.
Yesterday.
Yeah, that's
there's
I believe
nothing
that.
You paid for on your body.
It's the
right
exact
now.
Same thing you wore yesterday.
Old Chuck knows me very well.
Ah,
I bleep you not. From underwear to socks to pants.
Is this
to,
a walk of shame situation?
T-shirt. No,
it was his birthday yesterday.
I guess you know if that's still a thing when you're married.
I mean, as long as you picked right.
Yeah, I did.
Okay, good.
I feel good about it. But yeah, that's nice. That's the honest to God truth, man. It was like get home from the show last night, hang out a little bit, and then go to sleep, wake up, same clothes, them on. I mean, that's one of the perks of doing this gig. I mean, how complimentary were the students at UNT last week, well, check out my outfit, just like,
they did
wow, dude, how can you get away with that?
You dress like us.
The aura, the drip, was off the chain.
The most homeless looking kid in there was very complimentary of my attire.
So D&M Leasing brings you already this spectacular edition of, you could take that if you need to, of Crosstalk. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Smelly, Hagee. Thanks so much for asking.
Okay, I didn't notice that when you walked in. All right, so.
Well, get a little closer. You'll get a good whiff.
I guess we have to talk about this. We talked about it when the incident in question happened to start with, but. Is somebody going to help Matt Bush, or have they tried and he's just dead set on, I don't know what's going to happen to him because he got booked into a Tarrant County jail earlier this week. And if you don't remember the story, it was from October. Matt Bush was spotted driving recklessly. He'd sped off out of the officer's sight. A few minutes later, he ran a red light, crashed into three other vehicles, leaving one driver with life-threatening injuries. He then attempted to flee the scene, but was detained by bystanders. You remember when he came to the Rangers, and he had various stints between 16 and 22, he had like a very similar incident, which left somebody almost like, almost crippled. It definitely impacted the rest of their life. And I will admit, I had a conversation with Matt Bush. He talked all about that because he was going to be on Real Sports and everything. I believed all of it. And I was like, he's going to turn his life around. And maybe he still can't after this, but this feels like a tale that is destined to end very poorly, does it not?
Yeah, and didn't this start with a vehicular homicide, like an actual dead person?
You might be right. I don't know if that person died. I thought it was...
He broke his back.
Seriously injured?
Yeah. Broke his back. Yeah, exactly. And like, their life is different forever.
Okay, yeah. I think if you do something like that and you go to jail and you come out and, you know, the draw of booze or your own personal misery is so strong that you need alcohol or whatever it is, I would understand it. But once you get back behind the wheel again, I just think you should go back behind bars for a long time, you know?
Yeah.
So I would wonder like how he's out, how he has access to a vehicle. Like I don't like any of this, you know. And I think it's a sad story, you know. And it sucks, you know, that Matt Bush is, you know, still out there hurting people. But I do think this is where the justice system needs to step in and be like, wow, this is an actual danger to society.
Yes,
you know, the jail's full of like nonviolent offenders. Yes. This dude is going to get out for some reason, get hammered, and jump in his pickup truck again. And you got to put him behind bars for a long time.
I'm with you guys on this. I wanted to play one more audio cut if I can. Can you give me cut number 8, please, Alec?
Black making a move to his left. Spins left. And it goes.
Now, Duke came back. They won on Monday night. They were playing a not very good NC State team. And Cooper Flagg essentially said that John Shire, the head coach, lit him up and was like, the hell is this? Like, are you going to be aggressive? You're going to try to go to the basket? You're just going to keep taking jump shots? Like, what are we doing? And he like really lit into the player. And so what I was curious about for all of y'all, and then Broadus, I would love to start with you if possible. How long does it take to see in a player what kind of motivation they do or do not respond to?
You might not ever see it. Might not ever see it.
Yeah. We were concerned about that with Mozzie for a little bit.
Yeah, you might not ever see it. You know, the hardest thing is you can kind of get an idea if the player likes or loves to play the sport, or he just plays the sport. You know, I think to play football, you honestly have to love the game. You really have to love the game. But there's guys that are really super talented that play and don't love the game. And it's a very, very difficult game to play when you're that way. But scouts try and find out about that every day. You can ask kids a million questions about, you know. And I'll tell you this. Remember Byron Jones?
Yes.
You know, I one time talked to Byron Jones, and Byron Jones to me had a lot of other outside interests.
Yes.
I mean, Byron Jones could be like a state senator from Connecticut.
Yeah.
He had that kind of demeanor about him. Byron Jones admitted, he goes, I really don't like playing football. I really don't. But, you know, it's something I do. It's a job for me, a profession right now. And
when you can jump like that, when you're that explosive.
Oh, yeah. Put your knee back into place when you know, when it goes out of place.
Oh, my gosh.
All that stuff.
Wasn't his nickname the senator?
Oh, yeah. That's what he actually was a congressional. I think he was an aide.
Wow.
I mean, so,
super smart.
Yeah. Military family. But he had a lot of other interests.
Yeah.
You know, and just going in, you knew that, like, this guy might not be long for it. You know, he might not be. So it's very, very difficult because there's a lot of times you get fooled by players. You think they're tough. You think they love the game. In actuality, it's one of the hardest things for them to do, to get up every day to go be a part of it.
So in a weird way, would you prefer the individuals who maybe are not that multifaceted and they're like, no, I love football. That's what I want to talk about. That's what I want to do.
It helps.
Okay.
It helps.
I live and breathe one of those guys because you know they're not going to be distracted by anything. You know, in their free time, they're like, wow, can we get some more practice in?
Well, that's like, you know, what some of the things with what they're talking with Tyler Guyton. You know, did Tyler Guyton really love football? Does Mozzie Smith really love football? You have to make
it. Is that why McClay's talking about character and metal?
I think Mozzie's been open about the fact that he doesn't really like football.
I think that's, I think there's a lot. And you know what? Hey, if a player tells me that they, and I respect him for saying it, I'm like, listen, okay, if you don't, then I just need to make sure that I don't take you, you know, because it's hard enough. But I'll tell you what, I've taken a lot of players or liked a lot of players that love football and were terrible players, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of a two-way street.
Sure.
You know, sometimes the most talented guy really doesn't want to be out there playing for you. And then there's a guy that's the, and then there's the guy that's the, you know, the guy that's just, oh, I love football. I love, you know, and then he's just terrible.
Yeah.
And you know, you get fired.
And then you have dreams about merging those two players and taking that. Oh, well, that,
you know, that's
talent.
One of the great things.
So this player
is,
and that player had a baby. Then boom,
You hear it all the time. If we could just take Dak's leadership and put him with, you know.
Yeah.
I mean.
Whatever.
Yeah, exactly. You always hear that. But
what do you guys got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, as always, thanks for asking. Rangers announcing a bunch of new broadcast partnership details here this hour. Jim Cochran's going to join us in the three at some point.
You know who's at that presser, right? Mike Bassick, in case you need another guest.
Yeah. Just have him call in. Yeah, you know, let's do
that
it.
That feels like y'all's job.
He missed Crosstalk.
That's a good point.
Yeah, he owes us the last hour of the show.
The whole
last hour?
The C block, man.
Roll home. Right?
What a D.
With the G-Bag Nation.
He's somebody else's problem here before long.
He blocked that game.
We've been the KNC Masterpiece. Come back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105 Through the Fan.
Call Mike a D like Eric just did.
Coming up next, the D block.